So while local authorities down in Central Texas try to figure out what went wrong, if something did go wrong at all, in alerting the public to these floods. And some say there is something at the federal level that was an issue that local meteorologists, local weather outlets maybe didn't do enough that maybe would have saved some lives. Maybe not everybody, but could have saved some lives in alerting that there were serious flooding heading to their area. Paul Gross is a former meteorologist at WDIV Channel 4 and joins us this morning. Paul, it's good to have you back.
Well, hi. Good to be with you guys, although not under these circumstances. Very tough thing to talk about.
Yeah, and this particular area is no stranger to flooding. Many years ago, it flooded over 25 years ago or so. There was substantial flooding in this area, too. What makes this area so prone to flooding?
Well, I've been down there. We had a relative that lived there in Kerrville, Texas, and not to be flip about it, but they call it hill country, and that's because there are a lot of, like, hills, like almost like little mini mountains there, and our cousin actually lived on one. It's very beautiful down there, but you have this terrain, this change in terrain with the hills, but also something to remember is that beneath that initial little layer of soil, just maybe just a few inches below the soil, is a hard limestone base. There is not much for water to soak into the ground there. So you have a combination of the terrain and the inability of the ground to soak in that water that causes these flash floods. They actually call it Flash Flood Alley down in that part of Texas.
Paul, you know, there's a lot of anger and grief in Texas right now, but also a lot of questions. And, you know, and from what you've seen so far, how do you think the warnings or forecasts worked? You know, do you think they worked the way that they were supposed to in a situation like this?
Well, actually, they did. The National Weather Service down there issued a flood watch at 1:18 Thursday afternoon. Remember, this happened around 4:35 o'clock on Friday morning. So that previous afternoon, a flood watch was issued, and then the first flood warning was issued at 11:41 p.m., and then a flash flood emergency was issued, and there were other flood warnings that were issued, by the way, but a flash flood emergency was issued at 4:15 in the morning. Now, that is a very, very rare thing for us, because that means that not only do you have flash flooding possible, but you have an exceptional threat to life, including the need for things like water rescues. So that was issued at 4:15 in the morning, and this was all posted on social media as well. But again, you're talking about overnight, and we say the same thing with tornadoes. You get more fatalities overnight because people are sleeping. They're just not aware of what's going on.
That was going to be my question. It seemed like the final step here to get that pertinent information to the people affected, it seemed like it didn't happen. Did the camp get the information that they needed to evacuate?
That is the biggest question, Jamie, that I've had about this whole thing. One, did the camp even get the information? Two, did they even have procedures, written procedures on how to handle various types of weather emergencies, and was the staff even trained? And I don't place blame, and I don't judge anything until I know all the facts, and I don't know what the procedures were at that camp. But what I can say is something I have preached my entire career, basically, as a meteorologist, is that people need to have multiple layers, multiple ways of getting warning information. You know, don't rely just on the sirens. Have a weather radio, you know, your cell phone. Have multiple ways to get warnings. I do not know what they had in terms of information at that camp, and that's something I'm sure we're going to have coming through with all the, you know, all the investigating this week. I'm sure we're going to get that information, and I very much want to know what the procedures were that were in place or not.
Well, and the systems that are currently in place for a geographical location to that, where there is a possibility of flooding the way that it has, not only now but in the past, are the systems adequate enough? Do we need an infrastructure change into how this information is relayed?
Well, that's something that people are looking at right now. And unfortunately, these tragedies happen, but fortunately, we learn from them. Like, and a great example would be the March 1976 tornado that hit West Bloomfield here in Michigan. What came out of that tornado? The countywide siren system in Oakland County. They developed an entire countywide system of sirens to let everybody in the county know if there is a tornado warning or a tornado threat. So out of these situations come a greater good. It's just the tragedy is just unspeakable, and I just can't even imagine what people down there are going through right now. It's just horrific.
Speaking with Paul Gross, former meteorologist at WDIV-TV Channel 4. And Paul, we know severe weather is becoming more extreme and more frequent. So from your point of view, what investments do you think we should be making right now to kind of stay ahead of these events and keep ourselves safe?
Well, I think part of it is education. I really do. And people do not take flash flooding seriously. I mean, a tornado warning, that's one thing. People pretty much understand and know what a tornado is, but people just don't understand the power of moving water. It's the same thing along the Gulf Coast. When a hurricane threatens, some people still down there don't appreciate and respect storm surge. Storm surge is moving water. Moving water is very, very destructive. It just takes a few inches of water. I think it's like 6 or 8 inches of water that can move a car. And so people do not respect moving water, and I think education is part of it, and notification is part of it. So in other words, the communication process. And by the way, something else that we don't know is how is this handled by the emergency managers down there? I mean, remember, you're talking the middle of the night on a holiday. In the middle of the night on the 4th of July, did they have proper staffing? I know the National Weather Service, there are allegations that they didn't have proper staffing at their office. That's false. Normally, you have two people in that office handling things like this. They, in anticipation of the flooding, that National Weather Service office down there had five people. They had a surge, what they call it, a surge. They had five people there. So we know that the National Weather Service was more than appropriately staffed for this event, and they issued their warnings as they got information about the rivers rising. But what was the emergency management response? And I'm not indicting anybody. I'm just saying, being a holiday weekend, middle of the night, did they have the low man on the totem pole there staffed at the office who didn't know what to do? I don't know. But that's all information that I really want to hear coming out of Texas this week is you know, the response to the warnings that were being issued.
And once you get the information, say you're on your phone, you know, and you get this flash flood, what should you do? Get to higher ground immediately? I mean, one lady was just driving to work.
Yeah, and that's the thing about a flash flood. Okay, there's a difference between a flood warning and a flash flood warning. So a flood warning, it's just, you know, it's raining a lot, and you're going to have puddling and ponding, basements may flood, you may have some freeways that are blocked, things like that. But a flash flood is a very rapid rush of moving water and a very rapid rise in a river level if you're near a river. And so the key there is you need to get away from the flood area, and you need to get to higher ground. That's just, as you said, Jamie, that's what you have to do quickly when you have a flash flood, because these things happen quickly. I've seen various reports, and I've looked at some of the river flood data down there that happened during the flood. Some of these rivers rose 20 to 30 feet in just a matter of within an hour or two or three.
It's really, it's really unbelievable. Paul Gross out of time. Appreciate you. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good.
Take a break. More coming up at GM Morning.